You know, this episode was supposed to be a lot of things, but it wasn't supposed to be this thing. Originally, when I came into the week, my thought was, you know what, Donald and I really wanted to review Penguin together. I reviewed it last week, so it was like 10 days since Penguin came out. Donald wasn't able to do it this weekend. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to give you guys my top 10 TV shows, or just projects of 2025. That was originally the thought this morning when I came to sit down in the office and the computer was to give you that preview. But then I realized that we have three major projects coming out in like next week, early December. And there's three of them. And I don't have much to say about them, but all three together will make up an episode. So I'm going to preview three different shows, guys, or three different projects. We're going to be previewing Disney's Star Wars Skeleton Crew, Creatures Commandos, James Gunn's first DCU project, as well as Kraven, all coming out in December during what was going to be my hiatus. We'll see. So yeah, that's the episode this week. We're going to be previewing Creatures Commandos, Skeleton Crew, and Kraven. That's it. That's the intro. I was going to say start the music. Wow. I'm really off this morning. Cue the music. Hello, and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Custard, Pikachu. We don't evolve, we just level up. And as you heard in the preview special episode today, we are previewing three projects in December. And I initially planned on doing a hiatus in December, just like I did last year. And I think I still might, but I might come on, not from a weekly perspective, but from a kind of a one I feel like it is necessary. Because there is three projects that are coming out during that hiatus that is going to be releasing week to week. And typically we do not get shows that come out this way. But since we're no longer doing this cable-like structure, we're doing a more streaming structure, and people generally have a lot of time to watch TV during this time, especially if you work at a school district like I do, or you just get time off, or you get laid off for work because you work a summer construction job, whatever it is, people have more time. So there is a lot more projects that are coming out during this like winter break. And we have three of them, obviously. And usually movies come out during Christmas because that's kind of a family tradition that a lot of people do, is go see a movie during Christmas, which I do think is cool. It's just never something that like my family does. So I want to kind of talk about these shows because I really did not believe I was going to do this episode because I don't really have much to say. And this episode is going to be a little bit differently because I'm going to do this one at a time. I'm going to go through Skeleton Crew, then we're going to do Creatures Commandos, and then Kraven. And I'm going to watch the trailer. We're going to go through the premise and just talk about my overall excitement for these projects because I do have a small level of excitement for these projects, especially if they are well done. Kind of the same thing as like Agatha All Along and The Penguin. My interest level before they started was lower because to me there were more extra projects. No one really asked for Agatha All Along. I did ask for the screenwriters and the showrunner from WandaVision. I was excited about that piece. That was their show. But I wasn't excited for a new Agatha show. Then I watched it, and then I got really excited because it was written very, very well. Same with The Penguin. Like, I have minor interest in the character, but more or less my interest level depended on whether or not it was a really good show. Because at this point, we are not, how do I put it? We are not lacking in the comic book show or movie business. We are not anymore. If anything, we are oversatiated. So when a new show comes out, obviously that's where my level comes in, or that's where I come in and be like, yeah, let's talk about it. But there's so much happening these days that it's hard for me to get necessarily excited by just the thought or the premise of it. 20 years ago, the idea of a Skeleton Crew TV show with this premise, I would have been all over it. Now, with all these television, like all these Star Wars projects, I'm more or less kind of like, eh, I don't know much about it, and I don't have a whole lot of hype because there's so many things to be hype about. Same thing with Creatures Commandos and Kraven. Really hard to be excited for Kraven when we have so many lackluster Sony movies that I still haven't really watched. I really should. I need to do a state of review for some of these Sony movies, because we're just going to laugh. And we will see. Maybe this summer when shit slows down. It is crazy, the first 6 months of the year when it comes to TV shows and movies. And good, because I need something to be cheerful about. Because there's not a whole lot of hope these days. Especially if you're really into politics and you're left-leaning like I am myself. So, that's the episode. Let's, I'm going to get into what I'm nerding out now, and hopefully don't talk about it too much. We just finished Wano for One Piece. That's, again, One Piece is the thing I've been nerding out on for 15 months now. And it is an amazing show. And it is so weird. So weird that we have essentially caught up to the latest arc. Like, it just, like, we watched the last episode was, they left. Luffy, Straw Hats, Trafalgar Law, and the Heart Pirates. I forget what, Goose's kid, like, what his pirate's name. Like, they all departed. And then we learned, like, why Buggy is not an emperor, which I think is hilarious. I guess, spoilers, Buggy's an emperor. Like, it's just weird to think we're on the next arc with everybody else. Now, we have 8 to 10 episodes left of, like, what is, of the dub. And then, obviously, we have the 24, 25 episodes after that. My math's probably off a little bit. For the sub, and then, obviously, the 5-6 month delay or hiatus until new episodes come out. It is really weird to just be, like, caught up at this point. Like, we're so close with the rest of the world. And I gotta do an episode with Ro. I have no idea when we'll do that. Hopefully soon. Maybe it'll be during my own hiatus. We will see. He owes me an episode. And I'm gonna bug him until we get it. You can count on that. And Ro, for those who haven't been listening long, he's the one who got me on One Piece. He was like, I think like third or fourth episode I ever did for Don't Evolve Me. I asked him to give me 3 animes to watch, and he's like, you only need one, and it's One Piece. And he wasn't wrong about that. It took me 6 months to finally watch it once the live action came out. And I watched the live action. I'm like, oh, I'll give this a chance. And I was like, god damn, this is actually really good. And I'm like, this is really good. And they're like, it is really, like, the fans of the show are like, it is really good, but the anime is still a lot better. And then I watched the anime, it's a lot better. I guess I'll have to read the manga. But it's just weird being caught up at this point. All right, moving on. Stardew Valley. Yeah, I'm still into it. It's the other second thing I'm nerding out on. It's such a fun game. That's all I got to say about it. I've been really been wanting, I'm like diving into video games. Probably my coping for depression. This whole political stuff has really kind of gotten me down. So just been diving into video games. And I've been debating on which video game I wanted to play. I was debating between Mass Effect, the whole trilogy, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Last of Us Part 2. And Last of Us Part 2 was the thing I've been wanting to play. I started playing Uncharted 4. Got near, like, 75% of the way there. I'm having a hard time finishing Uncharted. Just not, like, it just, it's not filling the quench that I wanted it to fill. Last of Us, it came down to Last of Us and Mass Effect. So I've been really wanting to play Mass Effect. And I started playing Mass Effect this weekend. It's such a fun game. Such a fun world. And there is news that Mass Effect, there is a TV show coming from Amazon. I'm excited for it. I will play it again. But this time around, I've never played it, like, when it comes to a role-playing game and you can choose between genders and sexes, I always choose male. I always choose myself because I always just want to envision like what I would do. And then after I play a couple times, I start getting into more role-playing actions, and it's usually males that are role-play. I usually try to play myself. I know there's this whole trend where males will play as females, and it's such a... I always question it. I don't get it. I've had people explain it to me. You get gifts more if you're a female. Some guys are like, I would rather look at a... like, especially if it's a one of those third perspectives where you can see your characters. And he's like, I'd rather stare at a female ass all day rather than a male ass. And I'm just like, that... I guess that makes sense in a weird way, but I never was one who'd play as a female. And this time around, I'm like, I'm playing as female Shep. I've never played as female Shep. Never played as female Shepherd. And I'm like, I'm going to do Renegade. I'm going to do just a badass bitch Shepherd. And I'm just going to say, female badass Shepherd, I'm digging it. It's fun. It's just, I don't know why. Voice acting, I don't know who the voice actor is for, or actress for Mass Effect who does the voice of Shepherd. I always get... I always hear that she does a really good job, whoever this person is. But now that I'm hearing it, now that I'm playing female Shepherd, I agree. Like, it's so satisfying. All right, let's get into the news.
It's time for a news quickie. Oh, yeah. All
right, first bit of news. We got some James Gunn. Again, every week he says something. I kind of love this about James Gunn. He gave two kind of major news. One, he confirms that Black Superman with J.J. Abrams is still in the works. This is the one that Michael B. Jordan was supposedly going to play Black Superman. I only want this to happen if it's, one, Michael B. Jordan playing the role of Superman, and two, if it's a really good movie. I think that's where I'm at with when it comes to, like, comic book movies. I'm like, just make it good. I don't want shit. I don't want crap. I don't want boring. I don't want mediocre. I'll accept good. I'll accept threes for the Don't Evolve Me scale. I'll accept threes, but I want 3+ or more. And when it comes to Black Superman, I know there's some people like, oh, you can't make Superman black, blah, 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 blah. I do think there is a version if you do make a Black Superman, like, it isn't going to be Clark Kent. Like, it's not going to be traditional Clark Kent. It's going to be almost a brand new character. And I don't really care if it's going to be, like, an Elseworlds story for DCU. If James Gunn is going to make an Elseworlds story about a Black Superman, as long as it's good, I don't care. There is a really interesting debate when it comes to, like, how accurate, like, when it comes to, like, actors playing, like, comic book characters, like, should they be their racial or, their sexual, like, counterpart? Like, should the male play male? Should this character be gender swapped? Yada, yada, yada. As long as there's a good reason for it, it makes sense for that character, I'm for it. But yeah, when it comes to Black Superman, Elseworlds, I'm in. As long as it's good. If James Gunn signs off on it, I'm in. More James Gunn news. He's talking about Batman Brave and the Bold. It's not coming as soon as people are expecting. They're like, hey, where's this Batman? We haven't heard much about it. And he's kind of just talked to, like, and he's been very consistent on this point. I'm only going to release movies and shows that have good scripts. And he says that Batman Brave and the Bold does not have a great script yet. And I am for it because it is really, really, really hard to manage a good comic book universe without... like, you have to filter a lot of crap out. Hey, this idea sucks. This idea is not that good. I want a really original, good story. Here's the thing. We can wait on Batman. We really can wait on Batman. We have the Batman Part 2 coming out in 2026. That is 2 years. Like, we have a Batman movie coming. The first, like, we just had one in, I believe, 2021, or is it 2022? I don't really, like, we just had a good Batman movie. There's plenty of Batman material to chew on, and there's going to be plenty of DCU stuff coming out. We do not need Batman yet, so I would rather them delay until there is a good script. And as well as I hope this movie is about the Bat family more than Batman. Because we really, that's like the only live action piece that we really haven't seen, which is Batman and the Bat family working together. I don't know if Batman Brave and the Bold will be that, but I'm okay with a Batman Robin live action movie, which is what this movie's supposed to be. Of course, I would rather have it Dick Grayson, but I'm okay with this. It seems like we're going with older DCU characters. We're going with a world that's already kind of been established. And I'm all for it. All right, some more news. Jonathan Majors. Remember that dude? The guy who played Kang in Last of Us. Loki, Season 1, as well as Ant-Man and Wasp Into the Quantumania. I believe that's the title. God damn, it's such a mouthful. His case has been dropped. His ex-girlfriend dropped the case. It is no longer, like, he is in the clear. And there's been a lot of questions this week. Do we want him back as Kang? Or do we want Marvel to focus on Kang again? And here's my answer. I want Jonathan Majors back as Kang. Because I think he's really good in the role. I thought he did an amazing job. And I think he's an amazing actor. And if everything that happened was kind of BS, I don't know if it is or isn't, if she just dropped the case for money reasons or whatever it is, like, if Marvel feels good about it, like, for the most part, if the public kind of backs off on him, I'm okay with him coming back. But, big but, I can't believe I just said that on air. I don't want them to focus on Kang that much. I want him to be a side character. If he becomes Thanos and gets his spine ripped in half from Doom, and like he replaces that character, I would be okay with that. I believe Thanos is going to be in Doomsday and Secret Wars, but I'm okay with Kang being a part of it. Just not the focus. I think Ant-Man, the third Ant-Man movie, I'm not saying the title again, ruined Kang. I really think it did. You can't have the joke character beat Kang. You can't have it. You can't have him beat Kang and just be like, haha, he's our big villain. Like, no, he's already been beaten. And I know Loki lost to Thor in the first movie and then he came back in Avengers. I know you can come back. But Kang is, like, that worked for Loki because Loki is kind of a lackey character. He is not the big threat. He is the main, like, focus. He is, like, the side threat. Like, he's the Steppenwolf to Darkseid. That worked for that reason. And Loki had much of a personality and much of a personal connection for that to work. Kang isn't Loki. Kang isn't, like, the step up to Doom. Kang is the big threat. And you had him lose the Ant-Man. Man, I'm getting really carried away with the news here. That's all right. All right. Into the Spider-Verse 3, I believe Beyond the Spider-Verse is the name that they're going with. That script has been rewritten and being worked on and is being delayed because of that. I don't know how I feel about this because, one, I trust their process. I'll say that. The first two movies are fives. They're elites. I do worry about the third one with everything that's going on with the strikes, with them coming back and saying, hey, the animation process is grueling, they are mistreating us, and now the script is being reworked to figure out an ending, because it seems like the ending's the biggest issue. They want this to have, like, they can't decide on the ending. All I'm going to say is it's the same as Batman Brave and Bold. I want this as soon as possible, as honestly, because we're left on a cliffhanger, but I also want this to be amazing. And I'm okay if they wait. We do have some rumor mills. Rumor mill. Young Avengers. It is. The rumor is it's happening. but they're going to be branded as champions, just like in the comic books, and it's going to be a TV show. Marvel does not trust it to be a good movie, so they're putting it on Disney Plus. I don't know if that's true or not. I do think a Young Avengers Champions would be good, but I think it'd be a better movie. If it's a TV show, we'll see. But I'm excited for it. There's a lot of like characters that they've been teasing up that they haven't really done a whole lot with. I think it's because you have to have the public to buy it. But I'm excited for it. Other rumors. A lot of Marvel rumors. This should really just be the Marvel rumor mill. X-Men actors. There's going to be a lot showing up before we get into Phase 7, which is supposed to be the Mutant Saga. I think we all kind of knew this. I feel like this is what we all expected. So it's a rumor that came out this week, but not a new rumor. It's kind of, I don't know. It's not really like news for me. Spider-Man. There's always Spider-Man 4 rumors. They always like mix. One's going to be, oh, the Kingpin. Like, I've seen two this morning. One being like, oh, Kingpin's going to be the main villain. He's going to team up with Daredevil. I'm like, yeah, that was the original rumor. And then now I'm seeing it's going to be multiple villains. And it's going to be a multiverse elements. And it's like, man, that's... I don't know. I'm just going to wait till the premise at this point. Because I've just seen rumors after rumors. Who knows if they even know what they're doing yet. Actually, they do have a script, apparently. And the biggest rumor that I've seen is that MCU wants a DC crossover and they're talking to James Gunn about it. I don't know if I want this, but if I will say this, if they are ever to crossover in live action, it is going to be most likely in the next 10 years because of that relationship between Kevin Feige and James Gunn. And that's what I have to say. All right. Wow. That intro was supposed to be a lot shorter than what it was. It is always the case, even if I'm here by myself or with friends. All right, we're taking a quick break, then we're getting into previews. Disney's Star Wars Skeleton Crew. Coming out December 3rd. I just watched the trailer again for, I think, the second or third time. And we're going to preview this show. I did quick review with Donald. Because we talked about the trailer. And I'm kind of excited about this show a little bit. Not a whole lot. It's like minimal excitement. If I had to put it on the dem scale, maybe 2+, 3- excitement. I don't know where I'm at overall. It's not like, oh man, I can't wait for the show to come out type of excitement. But it's very much, I'm excited for who's behind the scenes. Because I didn't realize who the showrunner for this show was going to be. And that's John Watts. If you're not familiar with John Watts, he directed the three Spider-Mans for the Disney trilogy. No Way Home, Far From Home, and Homecoming. And the other showrunner, I believe, is Christopher Ford, who also did some writing, who did the writing for Homecoming. And this is supposed to be a coming-of-age story set in the Star Wars universe, where they find, I'm going to read the premise for you guys, four children end up on an adventure to make their way home after being lost in the galaxy following a discovery they make on their home planet. And I believe from the trailers, they find like something, they find a ship and they get taken across the galaxy and they have to make their way home with the star character, Jude Law, who is a force user. And there isn't much here to just be like, yeah, this sounds amazing. But there is enough with John Watts. This trailer looks, it does really feel like a coming of age story. It is a story mostly based around children going on an adventure. But I think it's what I'm excited about as a father with two kids at home. I can watch this with my kids. I'm excited for that. But I'm also excited that I'm like, I think this is going to be a story that I might really, really enjoy. I don't know if it's going to be good, but I do have faith that it will be. I like Jude Law usually is in some pretty decent films. I'm not a huge, big Jude Law follower, but I do, like, appreciate his work. But John Watts already kind of brought the coming-of-age story to Spider-Man. And Spider-Man Homecoming might be my favorite film for Spider-Man, like live action at least. I would say either Into or Across the Spider-Verse probably is my number one. Those movies are freaking fantastic. The art and the story is just amazing, top-notch elite. We already talked about it. But Homecoming's probably my favorite. Like, I will say Spider-Man 2 is better. No Way Home, I think, is better movies. But Homecoming has a special place in my heart because it's just a really fresh take on Spider-Man. It's a very, like, grounded, based on the characters, and it's based on Spider-Man growing up. And when I seen the name, like, originally when I looked at the Skeleton Crew stuff, everything, all the information we know beforehand, the premise, the watching the trailers, the thing that got me excited is when I saw the John Watts name. Because I already know he can make a coming-of-age story in Homecoming. And I think it's such an interesting take on Star Wars. Because a lot of these stories are coming-of-age stories, right? Luke Skywalker, Rey Skywalker, Anakin Skywalker. I know a lot of Skywalkers. But a lot of it is coming of the age. It's, hey, you're a young adult or you're a kid and you're going on an adventure and you become this hero, this legend. But I like it from a more of a normal person standpoint. And when I watch the trailer, you watch these suburbs on this planet and you see these kids just being kids. And like they're talking like, what are you in for? What did you get in trouble for? What did you get in trouble for? And this idea of what if you were just a normal kid growing up in this world and you were just thrown in an adventure? I'm like, it's not fresh. In other, like, I don't think if this was like a non-Star Wars story, I wouldn't think this is necessarily a fresh story, but this is a fresh story for Star Wars. As someone who follows all of Star Wars, this is fresh. This is exciting. And I will say, yes, the last project, The Acolyte, had a fresher take, fresher time period, and they didn't really capture, like, they didn't capture that. But when I do watch the trailer for Skeleton Crew, it does really seem like they are trying to capture that feeling. And they have a very specific theme that they're going for, which gives me hope that this movie or this TV show, which is 8 episodes, is going to be a show that's decent. And this is my expectation. I don't know much about the characters. I know that there is there's Wim, there's Firm, there's KB, there's Neil, and then obviously there's Jude Law's character. And then who's the android? Is that KB? I know there's going to be voice of SM3, the decryptive droid made from Onyx Thunder. I don't know who these characters are, obviously. But this show does seem like it's going to be a good show. And I'm thinking, like, this is my range. This is my prediction of how good this is going to be. How good of a rating I'm going to give it. I'm expecting a 3 for a floor. And what I mean by 3 for a floor is I think this is going to be a good show. At the very least, it's going to be a good show that you don't have to watch. Which is not bad, right? If you're going to make a show in a big franchise like Star Wars, and you said, hey, worst case scenario, this show is going to be a good, fun watch. It's going to be someone's favorite. But it's going to be a show that most people don't feel like they need to watch. If that's worst case, it's not a bad worst case. It's not great, obviously, but it's not a bad worst case. I don't know if this show will be a 5. I don't know if this show will be Andor. I didn't think Andor was going to be Andor. That was not my prediction. And even after watching the first three episodes of Andor, I didn't think it was going to be a 5. That was a 4-. I was actually really bored the first three episodes. And then I kept watching it. And then I'm like, oh, it clicked how great and authentic and real that show was. Andor season 2 is going to be high on my list, just so you guys know. But I will say for Skeleton Crew, I don't know if I'm going to be super surprised if this is a great TV show. There's nothing that tells me that it won't be. My prediction is 3 for a 4. I don't know what the level is. I don't know where the ceiling is. It's a new project, right? I would be surprised if it's a 5, but I was surprised by Andor. So my floor is 3. I think maybe if I had to guess, 3+ is where we end up, but I don't know. And here's the thing, it might be a 4+, 5-, and it might not be a show for me. And I'm okay with that if that's the case. If it's a really well-written show, but it's made for like my kids, and my kids love it, it's a win for me too. It's not for me, but it's for them. All right, I don't have much more to say about Skeleton Crew. I think it's going to be a decent show. I have hope for it. John Watts, he made 3 really good Spider-Man movies. And the other writer, he's the one who worked on Homecoming. I think this is going to be a really good feel. I think this story can work. It has potential. We will have to see. I will do a review at the end. I don't know if I'll be doing a week-to-week. Because again, this is going to be during my hiatus. But if this show is really, really good, I might just have to make a smaller episode. Just to talk about it. And when I say smaller, it's probably a full-size episode, let's be real. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. And then we're going to talk Creatures Coming. Creatures Commandos, the very first project for James Gunn's DCU. And I'll be honest, this is such a weird first project to have. And I want to say I don't know how I feel about it, but I'll be honest, I trust James Gunn. I really do. And this does feel like a project that he would absolutely do for DC. As in, he already did Suicide Squad and Peacemaker. 2 very alt shows. I don't know. James Gunn seems to be a person who likes to take the obscure groups and make them loved. Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 1, 2, and 3, right? You take obscure characters from the Marvel Universe, and he makes them beloved. He makes, like, this instant classic. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy, everybody knows, right? It wasn't because they were great characters in the comics. Everybody knows them because they became great characters in a James Gunn movie. Peacemaker, or let's start with Suicide Squad. This is the second time we got a Suicide Squad movie. It's an idea that I think the public has really liked. It's a really good premise. The idea of like, hey, you do this, you get time off, but there's a good chance you die. But this is, you either, you know, die doing, you know, using your powers, or you get free, or you get less time in prison. That type of idea. They made a 2016 movie. It sucked. It was awful. Warner Bros. Really fucked that movie up. James Gunn comes in and he does the movie justice. He takes that premise and it shines. Again, this is a movie with obscure group of characters coming in to do a task. And James Gunn just makes those characters shine. Like, whoever thought that Polka Dot Man would be so loved? Who thought King Shark would be as loved as he was? I mean, he has been pretty loved in DC projects lately. The Flash TV show, Harley Quinn TV show. I think that might be it. And, of course, Suicide Squad. Peacemaker. an obscure comic book hero that is played wonderfully by John Cena and is made into a really, really fun TV show by James Gunn. If you haven't watched Peacemaker yet, please do. The intro scene is fucking amazing, and the song is playing in my mind. It's a really good show. So, when they announced that Creatures Commandos was going to be the first project, first thing I thought of was, okay, that is a very James Gunn project to do. But also, I didn't know what to think about it because I don't really know anything about Creatures of Commandos. I read a lot of comics. There was a good 5-6 year period where all I did was read comics. The background of my wall, full of comics. I have never once read about Creatures of Commandos. I don't know who they are. So I can't tell you what I expect. Like I usually do. Most of these shows, I usually have a very good idea what possible story they could talk about, what these characters are like. I don't know. I really do not know. So after I watched the trailer, and I will say the animation is interesting. It reminds me of Invincible a little bit. It reminds me a lot of Harley Quinn. It doesn't look that serious, but it is. This is a 7-episode arc. And they asked, why is it 7 episodes? It's such a weird number. Like, well, James Gunn said, I wrote for the story, and the story ended at 7. And I love that answer. I really do. Because it tells me we're not obscurely going to a number. We're about telling a story. And whatever that story is, we're going to tell it naturally. And if it's a 7-episode story, we're telling you a 7-episode story. We're not going to make it 8. We're not cutting it to 6. It's going to be 7. So this comes out. And the idea, the premise of it, following the events of the first season of Peacemaker, Amanda Waller is no longer able to put human lives in jeopardy for her operations. She's no longer able to use human prisoners. So this tells us, one, the first season of Peacemaker, again, this was news last week too, is canon. Except for the Justice League scene. With the joke of James Gunn saying, if I had to name season 2 Peacemaker anything, is everything from Peacemaker 1 is canon except for Justice League. Or I think it's something along the lines of that. I don't think it's exactly that, but he did make that joke. So the idea is, she's making a new Black Ops team, but it's not of humans. And I'll be honest, this is going to be a show I think my wife's going to be really into, because I think this is her taste. Also, she's a huge Frankenstein fan, and she's a huge Bride fan. Frankenstein and the Bride. Like, there's Frankenstein over my house. She's a huge fan of that. And I didn't even realize that he's going to be a character in the show. And it's going to be played by David Harbour, none other than David Harbour, who's huge. So, I'm in. I'm bought in. I think this is going to be a really good show. My expectation for this is it's going to be a 3+4- project. It's James Gunn, people. He wrote it, and the guy who is directing it, or the showrunner, I believe, what's his name? Dean Laurie. I don't know him. This is his first time being a showrunner. But he's worked on Harley Quinn. He's worked on Powerless. He's worked on iZombie. He's worked on a lot of DC projects. And it's written by James Gunn. So I have high hopes because of the people involved. Mostly James Gunn. But also I have high hopes because it's based off the story. And it seems like, hey, I'm going to make this a story to kind of set up the DCU, because this is based off what happened to Peacemaker, based off what happened with my Suicide Squad. I have a story to tell here. And I really love shows like Agatha All Along, The Penguin. Two shows I didn't have any hope for. Or not any hope, but I had small hope for. Two shows. And they were made because they had a story to tell. And they were great. Possibly elite. Penguin is a thought up there. I'm really curious in Don's thoughts on the Penguin. But the ideas. If there's a story to tell here and it's by James Gunn, ooh, my expectations are high. I am expecting a 4- show. I would be happy with a 3+. I would accept a 3. Anything less than that, ugh. Ooh, ouch. I'm expecting a 4+. Some of these characters are interesting. I kind of want to go over the characters. I don't know. Nina Marski, amphibious scientist. Rick Flagg's being Rick Flagg Senior, not Junior. Senior Blaine being played by Frank Grillo. I thought this casting was interesting because he's going to play Frank Grillo in the live action version, but he's also voicing him. I don't know much about Rick Flagg Senior. Rick Flagg Jr. is this, you know, he was in both Suicide Squads. He died in the first Suicide Squad movie. I don't know how I feel about Rick Flagg Sr. I don't know why Rick Flagg is a character that is constantly showing up, Jr. or Sr., but I like Frank Grillo, and I do trust James Gunn. So we'll see what this character is about. G.I. Robot is interesting. I think it's interesting there's a lot of voices that, like, there's a lot of character or a lot of voice actors playing multiple characters. We have Sean Gunn playing two different characters. We have Alan Tudyk playing two different characters. Like, I remember on the trailer that I just watched being like, I knew Alan Tudyk was going to be Clayface, but then I heard Dr. Phosphorus, which is a radioactive character who looks freaking amazing animated. He was talking. I'm like, that's Alan Tudyk. I know his voice anywhere. He's playing this character and this character. It's weird. But yeah, we have some really interesting characters. We have Zoe Chow playing Nina Marisky. She's an amphibious creature. We have Sursuke. We have Sean Gunn playing G.I. Robot, who looks interesting. Reminds me of Doom Patrol a lot. And also playing Weasel, who was part of Suicide Squad. David Harbour is playing Frankenstein, which is cool. His wife is being played by Indira Varma. And then, of course, we have Amanda Waller coming back, which is a really interesting character in general. Again, I don't know what to expect from Creatures Commandos. This is brand new for me. But if I had to rank this of projects between Skeleton Crew and this show I have high hopes for. It's a 4-. I have high hopes for Skeleton Crew, but Creatures Commandos, guys. Start of the DCU. I have high hopes this is going to be good. It's going to be disappointing if it's not. I don't know if it will be a 5. I think my ceiling is 4. But this is an interesting start to the DCU. And I'm excited to see how it goes. I get Harley Quinn of Invincible vibes from the animation. But yeah, I don't have much more to say other than I'm excited. I hope that this is a great show we get to talk about during my hiatus or when I come back. I'm going to have a lot to talk about when I come back. Kind of like last year. What if Echo? But if it's, yeah, Creatures Commando Skeleton. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. Then we're going to talk Kraven. Yeah, we are talking Kraven. Time to talk Kraven the Hunter, the movie. The movie I don't know if anyone's really asked for. And I want to say this nicely, because I don't know if anyone's really asked for any of these movies that Sony's coming out. And I'll just come straight with it. I don't have high hopes for this movie. I don't think really anyone does. And it's to the point where the director, J.C. Chandor, talked to people like, hey, give this movie a chance. Please give this movie a chance. We know Sony movies aren't that great. And he didn't say it like that, but that was essentially what he was applying. Like, give this movie a chance. Don't judge it based on its predecessors. And I think it's a fair request. I do think it's a fair request. And I think, like, in order for me to see it, because I didn't see Venom, I didn't see Joker, and I didn't really see any of the other Sony-verse movies, I want to see a good movie. I don't have necessarily the funds to go see every movie, which is why I didn't see Venom, which is why I didn't see Joker. And more or less, like, I'm not going to pay for a movie that sucks. I know it's my job to talk about a lot of these movies, but most people, if this movie sucks, they don't go see it. And if they don't go see it, they don't really want to hear about it. And if they do go hear about it, they're just going to more or less take the first couple clips and be like, is this movie good? Is this movie not good? If it's not good, we're going to talk about why it sucks. And that's kind of what I'm doing with Kraven. I'm waiting to see if this movie is even good. Based off what I've seen, I will say the actor who plays Kraven, Aaron Taylor Johnson, I wasn't happy with his casting initially. And this was like 2021 when Taylor Johnson was casted. I wasn't that excited. I was also kind of mad because I was hoping that No Way Home was going to be a Kraven the Hunter movie. I really want Kraven the Hunter to be in a Spider-Man movie, and I really think he should. He's like the next... I think he's like the biggest Spider-Man villain who hasn't been in a live-action Spider-Man movie outside of maybe Carnage. And I really wanted to see it happen because I think a Kraven the Hunter movie with, like, a Spider-Man movie with Kraven the Hunter being the main villain would be exciting. No Way Home was the perfect movie for him to do that. They decided not to do the people hunting him storyline. They decided to do a multiverse storyline instead, which worked out great. And I'm happy that movie got made, but they missed a chance with Kraven the Hunter. So I think Sony decided, like, hey, we'll just do our own Kraven the Hunter movie, just like we're going to do the movie with every other, you know, Spider-Man villain without Spider-Man in it. And Kraven the Hunter can work without Spider-Man. Like, he does have a story prior to Spider-Man, but of course, like, the peak of his story is Spider-Man when he hunts Spider-Man or when he hunts other heroes. So this movie, I think this movie's probably not going to have a good box office. Even if this movie's good, I don't think this movie's going to have a big box office appeal, and I think it rightfully so. Sony, you suck. You suck at making movie live-action Spider-Man movies without Spider-Man being in it. Venom 1 and 2. We just did a state of review for it. Venom 1, 3- because it was entertaining. The other movie was a 2+, but it wasn't that good. It was a meh film. I did not watch Morbius. I did not watch Madam Web. Those movies are made fun of constantly. Those movies are joke films. It's Morbin time. Like, those movies are made fun of, and these are movies that I still have yet to watch because I'm not interested in watching a shit movie. Will Kraven become the next shit movie, or will it become the best Sony movie? I think being the worst, that's a pretty high bar. Would you say high bar or low bar? Like, I don't know if it can be the worst, because there's some really bad movies so far in the Sonyverse. But this movie could be the best movie. The bar isn't that high. Venom is the bar. And it was the bar because it was entertaining. Tom Hardy's entertaining. I think this movie could be good. There's potential for this movie to be good. I watched the trailer from 3 months ago, and then I watched the final trailer. The final trailer, I'm kind of on. But the one from, like, August, I was interested. I do think it's interesting. Because it seems like this whole movie, I'm going to read the premise to you guys. The premise of this movie. Did I not? I guess I didn't save it on my outline. Kraven has a complex relationship with his father, which sets him on a path of vengeance and motivates him to become the greatest and most feared hunter. There's a story there. His dad is a Russian crime lord. Or I believe he's Russian, which makes sense because that's in the comics, essentially. I don't know much about his dad in the comics, but I know Like, his brother is the chameleon. They're both Russian. And I think the idea of him being this crime lord, who is a hunter of sorts, and kind of sets this mission up for Kraven. And Kraven, like, his dad is being... Like, I think there's some juice there. There is some potential. I think this story can be good. I like that the Rhino is in it. I don't know if it fits with the comic, but I like the idea of, like, the Rhino being a threat. Because the Rhino is an interesting villain from a threat perspective. How do you take down someone solid who can just run through shit, who's strong and powerful, right? You have to be, like, Rhino is stronger than Kraven. Rhino is stronger than Spider-Man. I do like that dynamic for a fight scene. We don't know much more. The trailer didn't give a whole lot, which is great. That it's very minimal. So I look at the Kraven movie. I'm expecting a 2+ film. That's my expectation. I think this movie's probably going to be shit. This is a movie that no one asked for. It's made by Sony. It's another Spider-Man villain. But here's the thing. I think this movie has potential to be really good. I don't know if it's going to be really good, but I do see the potential. Aaron Taylor Johnson, I think he's a boring actor. I don't mind the stuff that he's in, but him being the main character, I'm kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think he is charismatic enough to be the main lead of the film. And this movie could be very boring because of it. And also, he's not Russian. He doesn't quite feel the part. He does look good in the trailers. Like, he's an attractive man, I will say that. It's hard to say that this movie is going to be great. I do think there's potential. The trailer doesn't give a whole lot. I do know Kraven the comics, but everything is a Spider-Man based story. So I don't have much more to say on Kraven the Hunter. I hope it's good. I honestly hope it's good. But I also hope it isn't great, because I want Sony to stop. I really want Sony to stop making Spider-Man movies, thinking that we're going to watch Spider-Man movies without Spider-Man in it because we want to see those characters. And it's like, I do want to see those characters, but I want to see these characters done well. And I want these stories, like, I want a good movie. Like, I don't mind seeing Morbius. And I wouldn't mind watching Morbius. I still haven't watched it yet. I wouldn't mind watching it if it was a good story to be told. I think there's a good story there. Madam Web. Is that a movie I'm asking for? Hell no. That's a movie where I go, why the fuck are you making a Madam Web movie? But if there was a good story to be told, I'm down. Just like Agatha All Along. Just like the Penguin. Those were good stories that was needed to be shared, and I was excited for it once they came out and I was able to see how great they were. And I don't mind if there's a good Venom story to be told, tell the good Venom story, tell the Silver Sable story, tell the Black Cat, as long as there's a good story, tell the Kraven movie. Do I think this Kraven movie is going to be great? I'm not expecting it to be. I would be surprised if this is a 3. I would be happy if it was a 3. I'm expecting a 2+, at best a 3-. That's what my expectation is. But I am going to be honest and say there is potential for more. There is a good potential story here. Kraven can have a standalone movie, and more so than Venom. More so than Madam Web. Morbius could be its own thing. Kraven has a story before Spider-Man. He has lore. He has character development before Spider-Man. I just don't know why this movie is being told. Why this story is being told. And I really hope that the director, the writer, Sony themselves, I'm hoping they're telling this story because it's a good story that should be told. It's a worthy story to be told. I just don't think that's the case. I think that the case is, hey, Kraven's not going to be our Spider-Man 3 villain. So since our Spider-Man is not going to be a Spider-Man 3 villain, we're going to make our own movie about him. And this is what they're going with. That's what I feel like is happening. And I honestly think they're going to, I think Sony's not going to do good in box office. I expect them to do horseshit in box office. I expect this movie to be bad. And I really hope that this movie alone is the reason why Sony just stops making movies to make movies and almost just gives Spider-Man to Marvel. Because I don't know what the hell they're doing at this point. But there is a part of me that's like, I hope Craven's good. Because I do like the character. And I just want good stories. I don't want businesses to fail. I want businesses who make movies to succeed because they're telling good stories that should be told. And if they're not, and if that's not why they're in it, they're just in it for the money, then I hope they fucking fail. I hope Craven's good. Because I like Craven. But if it goes off the rails, I hope this is the reason why Sony stops making movies to make movies. I think that's going to be the case. I don't know if Sony's going to stop making movies, but I expect this movie to do poorly. But I'm down to be pleasantly surprised. Worst case scenario, in the grand scheme of things, I think the worst case scenario of this movie is like a 3, the 3 plus. And it's like a solid, decent movie. It's the first decent movie that they made. And they decide to just keep cranking shit movies out. Or worse, because this movie's decent, it just, we never hear about it again. So that's worst case scenario. All right, that is the preview for the three shows for the December projects. In terms of Don't Evolve Me Future, we have an episode with Donald this coming week. We just scheduled it. We are going to do our top 10 or top 20 projects of 2025. I haven't figured out specifically what we're going to do. I think I might just do top 10 TV shows, top 10 movies. That's what I have on my list. That was supposed to be this week. We're going to do that next week with Donald. We're going to talk Penguin a little bit too. I'm curious what he ranks Penguin. I'm curious if he thinks it's better than Agatha or if it's not. A lot of great things we'll be talking about. And then we'll do a Don't Evolve Me award shows, Demas 2024 with hopefully Michael. I haven't heard back from him. And I believe after that, I will be taking kind of a hiatus from the week to week. I might be doing, again, if Creatures Commandos is good, if Skeleton Crew is good, if Craven's good, I will intermittently come back to talk about those shows. If not, we will talk about them in January. Originally, I didn't know how long my hiatus is going to be. But then I saw all the shows in 2025. And I'm like, I don't get a long hiatus this year because I am excited to talk about those shows. Romero, again, as spoken in earlier, he owes me an episode for One Piece 10. That might be on the docket as well. But my plan initially is I have two episodes off. Then we'll go on hiatus, at least from a week-to-week standpoint. And then we'll come back with intermittent episodes if needing to talk about these three shows that we just talked about. Yeah, that's the plan. All right, thank you everyone for listening. This is your host, Jake Sherbing, signing off. Hope you guys have a good week. I'll see you next week. And yeah, live good, my friends. Live good.